looking at our readings, I was thinking of the blues. Guy, everybody's got the blues. The Bible blues. You know, Ezekiel, he's got the working man blues. He's got to go preach to these people who are rebellious, hard of face and obstinate of heart. You know, I mean, that's not an easy job. He's got a tough job to do, and he's singing the blues. And then you've got poor St. Paul, who is afflicted with this thorn in the flesh. He's got the St. James Infirmary blues, because he should be going to the infirmary and getting healed, but he's not getting healed at all. You know, God says, no, you're going to keep that suffering going. And Jesus, rejected by his own people. I can hear him singing, nobody loves me but my mother. And she could be jiving me too. Not that the Blessed Mother would ever jive anybody, with all due respect, but he might be feeling that way, you know? And I want to share with you some pagan wisdom. I have a book, The Art of Living. It's a reflection, kind of an interpretation of Epictetus, the Stoic philosopher. And one of the things he wrote, he said, life is not a series of random, meaningless episodes. Though it is not always apparent if you merely look at the surface of things, the universe we inhabit is the best possible universe. And he goes on to say, is there some less than obvious benefit embedded in the events that a trained eye might discern? He says, pay attention, be a sleuth. You know, be a detective. Figure it out. What's the silver lining here? He says, in any event, however seemingly dire, there is nothing to prevent us from searching for the hidden opportunities in every event. Hidden opportunities. You know, and this is from a pagan who didn't even know about the cross. You know, think about that. The hidden opportunity in the worst of sins. We call it Good Friday. And we even heard, in the abasement of your son, in the crucifixion of your son, in the worst possible sin this world could contrive, you have raised up a fallen world. And if God can do that, I think God can use any of our blues. You know, look at the working man blues, Ezekiel. You know, there's a real risk when our ministry is too successful. You know, we get filled with pride and puffed up and get thinking we can do this on our own. And that's the worst possible way to minister in the world. I had a good friend, the Deacon Dan Terrian. Dan was a great guy. He had been a police officer and worked in a jail. He used to see me in Garfield. He used to say, Father Neil, how's your ministry of failure going? I would say, just fine, Dan, just fine. Lots of failures this week. Very good, very good. You know, and there's a benefit to that. You begin to realize, boy, I gotta have my eyes fixed on the Lord and be rooted in prayer and rooted in the Lord and not caught up with the, you know, the successes of what's going on around. But I need to be able to stand up to those apparent failures that seem to surround me, you know? So there's a benefit to that, you know? We don't sing the blues. We know that God can use all things and make them work for good. And St. Paul, with his illness and his struggle, you know, I see a lot of those white and thin-haired and bald-headed people out there. And you remember how stupid you were when you were young? You know, I can handle anything. I'm going to live forever. I'm strong. I got a future. I can do what I want. I'm puffed up, you know? Then you begin to learn. Life teaches you, doesn't it? And in that learning, you know, again, you get a little more fixed on the Lord, you know, a little more connected. And then Jesus, you know, singing that nobody loves me but me mother, and she could be jiving me too. Not so comfortable at home. Imagine if he was comfortable. You know, boy, this is nice. They all like me, and my ministry's going well. Yeah, I'll go to other towns tomorrow. Maybe next week. Next week I'll move. You know, that was the story of the early church. The church was persecuted in Jerusalem, and what happened? The church spread. God used the persecutions to make that church grow and used the blood of the martyrs to water the seeds of the church so it would be fruitful. You know, God makes all things work for good. And to be reminded of that, one of the great stories, I think, and one of the people that really, really appreciated that was Joseph in Genesis. You know, he had those wonderful brothers who wanted to kill him. So there were some family issues there. He could have been on talk TV or something, you know. But they didn't kill him. They just sold him to slavery. And he was incarcerated unjustly. And then, of course, he rose up in the ranks in Egypt and was able to save the nation from famine. And then his brothers appeared, and they needed help. Oh, I would have loved to have been in his shoes. Boy, that would have been great, you know. And they think he's going to get revenge, but it's beautiful. You need to read that in Genesis, how he says, now, this was all God's plan. And so he had no resentment for his brothers who wanted to kill him. No resentment. Isn't that beautiful? What if we had that spirit? I think of the people among family and friends, those people who let me down, those people that hurt me, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, the problems in life. And what if I were to say, you know, I bet God's using all of this in some positive way. I don't need to hold any resentment, any vengeance. It's all going to be well. All will be well in God's time. What a wonderful example, you know. And just this past week, I got a call from an old friend of mine. He did some time in prison, and he's been out about 2 years. His name is Angry Joe. That gives you an idea of who I was dealing with. Angry Joe. And he calls himself that. And he said, Neil, I'm doing well. And he said, you know, I had to do 8 years. And it was unjust what he had to do. But he said, it was the greatest blessing in my life. It got me on track, you know. And so he left prison without resentment, without anger. You know, God's at work. God's at work. And we can appreciate that. Another wonderful prison story, if you ever catch the story of Joe D'Ambrosio and Neil Kakuthi from St. Clarence, you know, and Joe was on death row for 21 years, unjustly. And, you know, it's great, at the end of their story, Father Kakuthi, the good Catholic priest, stands up and says, nothing good about this. This was all bad, it was all evil, it was sinful what was done, and he's right. And then Joe says, no, God had a plan. He sent Neil when I needed him, got the right lawyers when I needed him. And God made it all work for good. Joe has such a wonderful attitude about the struggles he's been through, knowing that God used all that stuff. No need to sing the blues because God's got it under control. I remember one young lady I met at the jail years ago, and I just got talking to her as I was passing by. And of course, jail stinks. It's the worst place in the world. It's an awful place. And then this woman tells me she's got fourth stage cancer. So that's pretty bad. And the medical care at the jail is awful. And this woman has a beaming smile. And I said, you perplex me. What's going on? And she just said, you know what? I know that God's got me and he's not going to drop me. You know, she said, God's grace is sufficient. God will use anything and everything in my life. Our God loves us infinitely, and he is awesome and powerful. Why would we fear anything that could possibly happen in our life or in our world, you know? That's the challenge, is to not to sing the blues, but to know that God's got us in the palm of his hand. I remember one of my little stories, St. Alphonsus. I don't know if you're familiar with Alphonsus. He was a founder of the Redemptorist. He was a brilliant theologian, brilliant preacher. He was an awesome musician and an awesome artist. And he was also, is also, the patron saint of all those who suffer with arthritis. And as he was aging, the brothers get together on a regular basis, have their little parties. They said, Alphonsus, play a song for us on the piano. You'll love this. He goes up there to play a song. It sounds like he's wearing boxing gloves. His hands are all gnarled. If you see pictures of him, his head is down like this. He bore a hole in his chest with his chin because of the arthritis. And so this brilliant musician now, unable to do anything. And the brothers like are hushed. What the heck? What's he going to do now? And Alphonsus simply looked up and said, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. He gave God praise and glory even in his infirmities, in his struggles, in the depleting of his skills and abilities. Because he knew God would make it all work for good. We need not sing the blues. We simply need to know that God's got us and he won't drop us. And he'll use whatever happens in our lives for our benefit and the benefit of our community and of our world. So there is no need to sing the blues.